Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who wants to know if you are ready for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives, where we take a look at a topic from a biblical perspective. I hope you're ready. I'm going to be asking you to think through some issues with me, particularly as the issues pertain to politics. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to be asking you to do is help me evaluate our politics. Yep, literally, evaluate our politics. Well, I guess what it really comes down to is, and I guess if I give you the rest of the story, it'll be easier for us to follow along with each other. Because this is what I would like for us to do. As we evaluate our politics, I'd like for us to take a very, very close look at the role of Christians in politics. And even more specifically than that, I'd like for us to take a look at the role of people who say that they're Christians, who do a good job of getting close to politicians, people in power, and once they have managed to get close enough to those people that they have their ear, maybe they have the cell phone numbers to some of these powerful politicians, very influential politicians. And they announce to the rest of us in the Christian world that they have been able to successfully have meetings with these powerful politicians, these very influential people. And some of them like to announce to us that they even have their cell numbers. And they can contact them at will. And they like to put us on notice that they are doing an outstanding job. Well, they may not say they're doing an outstanding job, but that's what they want us to think. They let us know that they are doing what they can to influence the way these people proceed, the way the politicians proceed with regards to making policy and even signing bills into law. So, of course, we're talking about people who purport to be Christians, who, well, establish relationships with senators and representatives on the state level, who cultivate relationships with senators and representatives on the national level, who even cultivate relationships with presidents. And they very enthusiastically report to the rest of the Christian world, particularly those of us here in America, because I am focusing on America right now. Let me point that out. I do want us to focus on America. At this point, we're not talking about what's happening around the world. For now, let's just focus on America the Beautiful. And one of the things that we notice, number one, again, we are evaluating our politics. How do these people who are purportedly Christians, who get the ear of people in powerful positions, what do they do once they've gotten their ear? What do they do once they have cultivated or at least established a relationship with these very, very influential people who make decisions that impact all of our lives in one way or another? One of the things that we know is important to them, to the Christians, is that they let us know who they have determined are the real Christians. And so it's interesting that a lot of influential Christians let us know that former President Barack Obama was not a Christian. They informed us that former President George W. Bush was a Christian. And more recently, they have informed us that current President Donald Trump is a Christian, although they say a newborn Christian who was just brought into the fold by them. They told us that Sarah Palin was a Christian. Now, one of the big questions that I have that I'd like for us to really think through is for these popular Christians, these influential Christians, to establish these relationships with these politicians and then make announcements about those relationships and then inform us of who is and is not a Christian. How do they reach their conclusions? Another question about that. How is it that they conclude that the vast majority, if not all, of the politicians they talk with who are Christians, who have been converted to Christianity, are Republicans? And even when Democratic politicians say that they are Christians, many of the same folks who insist that the Republican politicians are Christians, insist just as emphatically that the Democrats, especially Black Democrats, who say that they're Christians, are not Christians. Now, here's a bit of a quandary that I'd like for us to work through. On the one hand, we are told that we're to recognize who is and is not truly a child of God. And we're told some ways to determine that. The Apostle John said, you know, anyone who names the name of Christ, but we need to understand what that means, because that is very, very oversimplified to just take that on its face. We're told that no one who says that Christ is a curse is a Christian. Okay, that one's pretty easy. So if someone says that Jesus Christ is accursed, then we know that person cannot be saved by the Lord and call him accursed. We're also told, though, that anyone who names the name of Christ is a Christian, because no one can call Jesus Lord unless he is born again. We need to understand the depths of what he means by that. But there are plenty of people who in the end, in the judgment, are going to be saying, but Lord, Lord, in your name, I cast out demons, I heal the sick. And he's going to say to them, the Lord Jesus himself says, is going to say to them, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, you workers of unrighteousness, you workers of sin, you workers of dark, evil activities. I never had an intimate relationship with you. And he's going to have them thrown into outer darkness, into the lake of fire. We're told, on the one hand, not to be judgmental, but we're also told, on the other hand, we will know the tree by its fruit. We will know the tree by its fruit. And so here my point is, what yardsticks, what standards are our Christian leaders using when they make the decision to inform the rest of us that this one is a Christian and that one is not a Christian? We look at the character, and the character has not changed. And so they say to us, well, this person is a newborn. He's going to have to grow. Well, why don't they make excuses for the Democrats? If they're going to make excuses for Republicans who continue to commit egregious sins, why don't they make excuses for Democrats? That's called partiality. And the Bible says, lets us know that all partiality is sin. And so it comes down to this. We need to have Christians who are reaching out to politicians, not for the purpose of having bragging rights and being able to say, I have so-and-so's cell number. Not for the purpose of being able to brag and say, we led so-and-so to the Lord, whether they actually led the person to the Lord or not, whether they just went through the motions or not, to brag that they just led so-and-so to the Lord. What is the purpose of a person who is a Christian establishing and then cultivating, developing a relationship with people in power? Is it just for their own personal gain? Or does God require more? What is the purpose that God would have for allowing, maybe even empowering, enabling anyone who is truly his servant to develop, to establish and develop a relationship with people of power, people of influence? Would it be primarily for the purpose of truly helping that person, those people, make a connection with God, where they truly submit to God? They truly submit to God, not just go through the motions. They say a prayer, and then the people who led the prayer brag about how they led the person through the prayer, and that was it. One of the things that we know is that there are supposed to be indications, there's to be evidence that a person has changed, that a person has been transformed, that a person has been converted to Christ Jesus. Their character should demonstrate that. Whether or not they have the love of God will help to tell the story. It's not that difficult to genuinely start caring about people of all ethnicities, both genders, all ages, all nationalities, to genuinely care about them and want the best for them when we have the heart of the one who created all of them, all of us. In other words, one of the things that people should be doing who call themselves Christians, if they're Christians and they really want to have an influence on the politicians, their primary goal should not be to help the politicians know their right wing or left wing or middle wing desires. Their primary concern should genuinely be to encourage that politician to develop a genuine and intimate relationship with the one who created the politician. That should be goal, goal, goal. Everything else should be an objective. But the goal should be to encourage that politician to develop such an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus that they make it a lifestyle to begin studying and then to pick up the pace, studying more and more and more the Word of God, so that they learn how God thinks and develop their relationship with Him. They begin to think more and more like God thinks. They begin to desire what God desires. And then they go ahead and begin to push policies that reflect God's principles. And ladies and gentlemen, here's the truth now. This is a fact. When you have a party that can only focus on two sins, and in a 30 or 40 year period, they can only focus on two sins. Only two sins matter to them. You can best believe that what is genuinely of concern to God is not genuinely of concern to those people. Because if they were genuinely concerned about what God is concerned about, there is absolutely no way that they could spend decades, year in and year out, emphasizing two sins and summarily dismissing all other sins. If they truly cared about what God cares about, all that God cares about, they would emphasize all that God emphasizes. And you can best believe, for a group of people, as individuals and collectively, to spend year after year after year after year focusing only on two sins to the exclusion of all other sins, well, let me tell you what the Bible says, what the Lord Jesus says about that. He asked the question in Matthew 7, beginning at verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, he continues, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? How do you say to your brother, look, I see this item of concern. This is something that is a part of your life, and I'm really concerned about this. And so I want to do something about this for you. And in that person's own life, they may have 7 or 8 or 9 different things going on that are of concern to God, and they're doing nothing about it. They're dismissing these 7 or 8 items that are in their own life, these problem areas that they have in their own life, and they're focusing on the 1 or 2 problem areas that they see in someone else's life. And to demonstrate, to illustrate that they really are concerned about those two problem areas in that other person's eye, in that other person's life, they offer to help that person do something about it because they want that person to be pleasing to God. They want to demonstrate that they really have a problem with sin. And so, hey, look, I see these problem areas in your life. I see these sins in your life. And I want to help you get rid of those sins because I'm concerned about sin. And then they have many more sins in their own lives that they're not dealing with. So, for example, a person says, hey, look, you accept women having abortions. And or you accept people living a homosexual lifestyle. And they let you know they're really concerned about the sinfulness of your disposition, of your attitude, of your mindset. Because there's no way you can be pleasing to God and have those sinful mindsets flowing in your mind, in your heart. You're okay with abortion? And or you're okay with homosexuality? And they'll say, hey, look, I'm pro-life. And then you'll say, well, listen, I'm pro-life too. I don't think that a person should be able to have an abortion for whatever reason. But I also don't think that people who are already walking on this earth should be denied the right to vote. I don't think that it should be made more and more difficult for people of color to vote. I don't think that we should continue to promote a system that is designed to draw people of color, and especially the black race, into the prison system. And then take all their rights away from them, including their voting rights, forever. You can say to them, and these are things that you support. And you can say to them, look, I hear you loud and clear, but I also know that God tells us that people who work are not supposed to have their wages suppressed. They're supposed to be paid what is truly a fair wage. And based on studies, we know that the minimum wage right now should be at least $15 per hour. And you have, and you want to support politicians who insist on keeping the minimum wage down as low as they can. That goes against what God says he approves of. And you can give them a list of other things that have to do with sin. Because whenever we go against what God says he requires, we are sinning. So you point all these sins that this person supports. And then they very quickly dismiss all of that and want to get back to the two sins that they've identified in your life. Well, because they're so concerned about that sin. They're concerned about sin, and they want to do what they can to help you get sin out of your life. Well, in verse 5, this is what the Lord Jesus says about people like that. You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Deal with that which is so much bigger in your own life. And then once you've gotten that out of your life, you've gotten yourself cleaned up, then you'll be much better able to properly help someone else with their issues. Back in a few.